Let us pause. Oh God, we are thankful for your word, as your word is helpful and useful, gives us guidance and direction. May what we hear today give us inspiration. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've heard the cliche, the third time is a charm. It means that the third time that things work out the way it's supposed to or meant to be. After three tries at something, it finally sticks or takes or gets finished. This is a contrast to three strikes and you're out, or three strike rule as it relates to crimes or being imprisoned. In verse 14, our passage today says, now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. It was necessary for Jesus to appear three times. Let us back up and let us see what happened during each of those times. The first one was when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the evening of the resurrection day. If you remember in John chapter 20, which I spoke about last week, he goes through the walls, he goes through the fear. He says, peace be with you three times, and he tells them to deal with forgiveness, and he shows them his hands and side, and then he disappears. The second appearance, the first time Thomas wasn't there. The second time Thomas is there, and it's his turn to feel where the nails had been and to feel his side. The impression, though, that we have between the first time and the second time was that there doesn't seem to be anything that happened in between that was so significant. The first time they were locked up in fear, but also the second time it also says that they were behind closed doors. So it's implied there that they hadn't gotten over their fear, they hadn't gotten over their grief or whatever state of ambiguity they had within, they seem to still be feeling that. Finally, we get to the third incident, which is in this morning's passage. We don't know what happened between the second time and the third time, or how much time passed. But here in this passage, we find that the disciples are fishing. And it's reminiscent of Luke chapter 5, when the disciples were fishing and Jesus had met them. They weren't having any success, and Jesus appears to them and says, cast your net on the other side, and suddenly their nets are full. So in this third appearance, they haul the catch, and they start cooking some of the fish. Jesus says, let's have breakfast. Fish for breakfast sounds kind of Filipino to me. After breakfast, it was time for commissioning and sending out the disciples. And the event is characterized by the three questions, do you love me? And if you love me, feed my lambs or feed my sheep. It was asked three times, which parallels Peter's three times that he denied Christ before the crucifixion. And it's a chance for Peter to redeem himself. And what we find in this theme of three is that things seem to happen in three. What do we find out about Jesus' style of leadership here and his style of leadership that he wants his followers to take on? He is sending them out. He is commissioning them to carry on his ministry. And so leadership is a very prime, important issue here. Last week, I talked about the passages about peace and pushing through fear and forgiveness, and I won't repeat that. But his leadership does have the element of peace through and through. There's no strong arming by Jesus. There's no berating. There's no manipulating. Jesus' style is peaceful. If you remember at his arrest, one of his disciples sliced off the guard's ear, and we know what Jesus' response was, put away the sword. In Matthew chapter 10, he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Doves being the universal symbol of peace. Another significant aspect of his leadership is that his interactions seem to always involve food, feeding of the multitudes, the breaking of the bread, and the sharing of the cup as he tells them to remember him. The time when he was with Zacchaeus and says, "I'm coming to your house today to dine with you." And now after the resurrection and they see him the third time, he says, "Let's have breakfast." There's something that is solemn and sanctifying about a meal, the meal that is sacred and spiritual. But on the other hand, at the same time, the meal is a celebration. Images and references to the banquet and to the wedding. So there are aspects of his leadership style being peaceful and being around meals. But more than anything else, the most apparent characteristic of his leadership style is that of encouragement. Jesus' style of teaching and leading is one of encouraging. Jesus is motivating people by encouraging. Let's talk about what encouraging involves. First of all, there is much patience and perseverance with people. Sometimes we forget that the disciples had so many chances. And then they had the chance to stand by Jesus and to stand up for what was right. But if you remember what happened, they fell asleep, or they betrayed, or they denied, and they hid, and they fled and abandoned. Jesus could have said, "Forget you guys." He could have lost patience. He could have given up on them, but he didn't. After the resurrection, he comes back to them and he says, "Follow me again." And he says, "Feed my sheep." They had failed him before many times, but Jesus returns and shows faith in them. He shows great patience and great perseverance. Encouraging is also done in a very compassionate and kind way. If we look at Jesus' demeanor, it's not that of aggression or anger or hostility or rage. There isn't the maneuvering or the manipulating. There is no recrimination. Jesus doesn't resort to playing games or embarrassing or shaming. There's no arm twisting, no threatening, nothing nasty. The only time I can think of it was when Jesus rebuked Peter and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But in this isolated case, Peter was trying to get Jesus to go a different way. But even after that, he says to Peter, in a caring and kind and compassionate way, he is trying to encourage Peter. This past week, I was reading an article about the movie 42. I don't know, have any of you seen it? It's about Jackie Robinson. In the movie, the general manager, Branch Ritchie, who's played by Harrison Ford, scans the Negro League and is trying to find the right combination in a player. He is trying to find that skill, but also a good temperament. He was looking for a player who could withstand the firestorm of bigotry. He wanted to see someone who could handle it with grace and self-control, and he found that in Jackie Robinson, who would break the color barrier. In one line of the movie, Ritchie says, "I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back, because your enemy will be out in force, and you cannot meet him in his own low ground." It's a fortitude. It's an uncommon courage. It's encouraging as a way of relating and leading and proceeding. Finally, Jesus' leadership style of encouragement offers many chances. Not one, not two, not three, but more than that. Jesus offers grace and forgiveness. Abraham Lincoln had a difficult Secretary of Treasury named Salmon Chase. And Salmon Chase was obsessed with becoming president, of taking Abraham Lincoln's job, and it was so obvious to people in Washington. And many were questioning, why did Lincoln keep this person on his staff? Because his motives were clearly selfish and not so noble. Chase sure was competent and a good administrator, and Lincoln needed him to run the government and help raise money for the war effort. Lincoln exercised patience and perseverance and graciousness, and he was encouraging. But when Chase didn't get his way, he would want to resign, and he tried to resign three times, but he used it as a kind of threat. Finally, after the fourth time, Lincoln accepted, which surprised him. Lincoln, though, did appoint Chase to be a new Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And ironically, during Lincoln's second inauguration, it was Chase who administered the oath of office to give as many chances to the extent that we can work together. If we want to be Christian leaders and followers, Jesus encourages us to possess those qualities of being encouraging. To be able to be encouraging is essential and foundational and fundamental. If you notice Jesus' style through and through, he doesn't pressure, he doesn't make them feel guilty, he doesn't manipulate, he doesn't scold, he doesn't get angry or nasty, but encourages. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about prophecy, and in one of the subsets of prophecy, he uses the word encourage. 1 Corinthians 14:3 in the New International Version, it says, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening and encouraging and comfort." Even though it's a spiritual gift, we all have the capacity to be encouraging. We're tempted to raise our voices. We're tempted to be sarcastic. We're tempted to be abrupt. But we have the ability to be encouraging. Let us be encouraging to each other as Jesus would have us be. Amen.